and local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. HireMeNevada.com. Wow. There are jobs out there. But I cannot believe the numbers that they are putting out for unemployment. That's just scary. 884-9910. Are you looking for work? Did you file for unemployment? I've gotten a number of emails at monica@991.com. Sorry, I get ahead of myself. I start talking and thinking at the same time, and I don't get my thoughts out correctly. Monica@991fmtalk.com. Got to put the whole thing out there. And this is, yeah, this is a new thing. Corey sent me an email this morning. My wife got laid off. She was, she's like everyone else trying to file for unemployment, and the state only has three numbers to call, which all have a business signal. State says you can file online, but the system requires her to call to complete the application. Can you use your powers as an influential figure to grill our crappy governor to expand the broken system to allow for a temporary influx on the system so they can push through all the people's claims? Well, Ryan, you are an absolute sweetheart to think that I have any influence over anything. Love you. That's hysterical. But you're right. Just because an influx of money into the unemployment system for benefits doesn't mean that we have the people needed to get all of the paperwork done, to get all of the online business done. And again, our governor, the people he surrounds himself with, I'm still getting emails on the guy in charge of, you know, our health for the state. The state medical director, he's not licensed to practice medicine. I know that sounds ridiculous, but he's not licensed to practice medicine in the United States. So I guess that's okay for Sisolak. The people he surrounds himself with are just as bad as he is, because he chooses the people. So I don't know who he's choosing or what his mindset is, but it's not on bettering the state of Nevada. There are a lot of people who still have their jobs in city, state, federal government that, well, really aren't doing anything right now because people aren't looking for the services that they would normally look for. So why not move a few of those people over into the unemployment division to help out? Well, because these are trained professionals and they might make more mistakes. Okay, well, put the non-trained people in positions that they're not going to hurt anything, and move the other people that have worked in the business for decades, because you know, once you get into a government job, you do not leave. Which, by the way, it's interesting that all of this is going on to bankrupt the country when just our pension system was going to bankrupt us anyway. When these pensions come calling. Yeah, we're not on good footing. We're not on solid ground. But this is what happens when you let the government get out of control. And you don't pay attention to what's going on. We pay more attention to life. But not to the people who are, and I'll say it, controlling our lives. That's how much power they have. They control our lives. This is just sad. People are, they're losing everything for this stupid move. If you use your search engines and you start looking at the way that others have overcome this, other countries, South Korea, Sweden, look them up. They've weathered the storm. Why? Because they didn't shut down their economy. We have so-called professionals that are supposed to be checking these numbers of growth, and they show you that map up there of all the little red dots to make you nervous. Still, we do not have the numbers that come anywhere near just the regular seasonal flu. We even had one professional come forward, the guy who's supposed to be watching all this, and say that I overestimated the projection. I overestimated. People who are dying have underlying health issues. Young people are dying. Guess what? Young people can have underlying health issues. Oh, I love it when people disagree with me. Tell me that I'm wrong. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 884-9910. I got to check in with my buddy, Gino.
Hey, Monica. Yeah, I
Gino.
Agree with you a little bit on this.
Okay, give it to me. No, don't never be sorry for disagreeing with me.
Here's why. Well, no, I appreciate what you're saying, and I understand, but when you're comparing us to South Korea and stuff, you have to understand, those folks in Southeast Asia and throughout Asia, they went through the SARS thing 10 years ago. Then about 5 years ago, they had the MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, and South Korea does an awful lot of business with the Middle East. And so they have gone through these pandemics or getting ready for epidemics / pandemics before, and so they were ready. We weren't. You know, we can blame the Obama administration for depleting all our stock and after the H1N1 not replacing masks and all that. We can do that. I don't want to get all the politics of it because, you know, it's true. I mean, but my point is that their economies were able to continue to go forward because they had a plan in place that they were able to implement in a much larger scale. They created testing and they started testing constantly right away. We had the fiasco with the tests. We were trying to be efficient and do 3 tests in one, and it didn't work out. And then we got 3-4 weeks behind, and that is why we are hurting. And then there was no choice because, you know, Trump did the right thing, shutting down flights coming out of China. But sadly, people in China, for example, Wuhan is a city the size of New York. They have 3 airports. They would simply jump on a flight to Thailand or Japan, and then they would fly to the U.S. And so we had this thing going, and
well,
we had
and
no
Italy.
Way of knowing.
Don't forget about Italy and Spain and
absolutely. Yeah. And so people were coming in. So once we you know, the barn door was already shut and the infection was in, you know, once we had no choice but we have to go to this lockdown, and it sucks and it's horrible. But I'm hopeful that, you know, things with the policies that were put in place, you think about it, after this terrible, terrible thing, we've lost a third of the economy. It's still higher than it was when Trump took office. After, you know, all I'm saying is that I disagree. We were caught flat-footed as a country, and I hope to God we learn. I hope we understand we've got to pull so much of our business out of China. In fact, the world needs to pull out of China, because China has a population of 2 billion. They can just take care of themselves and do fine. They would be strong as so much. We need to focus on returning manufacturing to this country. We're struggling with trying to get things going because we don't have any infrastructure in terms of manufacturing. And so, you know, the Koreans and those in Singapore, they were ready because they have dealt with this in the last decade a couple times.
But Gino, let me correct you there. It is complete governmental incompetence, because we went through SARS. We went through H1N1. We went through MERS. We had deaths from all of those. And yet still nothing has changed.
Well, you're right. And part of it is just think about just a few weeks ago. People were saying, like, this is just the flu. This is just the flu. Even though it's 20 times more catchable than the flu is. And it's 10 times more likely to put you on a ventilator than the flu ever is, in terms of putting you into ICU. It wasn't just the flu. So we didn't want to believe. I think sometimes we think we're America, capital M, America. We don't have to worry about it. And yet science, this virus doesn't care. And you're right. The government has been incompetent. We have been caught flat-footed. And that's my whole point, is that we need to make some changes. And one is stop depending on China. Look at how much they do of all of our medicines. That is just absolutely ludicrous. And if it's not China, we have India make it, and India gets all of the raw materials from China. This has to stop. We have got to stop thinking about just money and worshiping at the altar of the dollar, and stop being afraid. The thing I love about Trump is that he is the first guy to come along and say, China, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And the NBA, you know, we can't offend the Chinese. I am sick of bowing down to Beijing. And yeah, we need to kick our government people in the butt. But we have to also say kudos to those countries who were prepared, because they were much closer to those outbreaks than we were. I worked with a gal who had visited China. She came back and she had to quarantine with SARS. And she didn't have it. And it was good, but yeah, you're right, we went through it, but nothing like we have on this scale. And I'm still not convinced this disease did not originate in some lab outside of Wuhan. I'm not convinced of that, but you know, we're going to find out as time goes on, because there are some attributes to this coronavirus that are strange. It only seems to want to attach to human DNA. They can't seem to put it into, they're saying that other animals are starting to have it, but it's not, I don't know, there's some things about it that are starting to come out, and I'm just going to kind of watch. But we've got to be nice, and the president is steptoeing. He's not trying to make President Xi look bad, because losing face in the East is such a big deal. We have got to understand China is not our friends. The communists said 50, 60 years ago, we will bury you. We thought it was the Russians. No, it was the Chinese. They are the ones.
Yeah, it's not about the Chinese economy and the billions of people they have, because they are more than willing to sacrifice their people. We know that. It's about world domination, world dependency, how they can shut down our way of living because they have control over it. But look at the testing here in this country, and as soon as the red tape, as soon as the regulations that are crushing us were removed, that's when we started getting tests. That's when we started getting testing that was accurate and a lot quicker. So, yes, I blame China wholeheartedly. But I honestly believe that our country, our politicians, and the deep state have set us up for this scenario. And I'm hoping other people see that, so we can make sure that Trump stays in office, because elections will go on, even if it's by mail-in ballot. Oh, like we are going to do in June for our primaries. Know your candidates. It's the Monica Jay Show. Gino, thank you so much. You are awesome. I love it when you disagree with me, because it brings out great conversation. We'll get back to the phone lines in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break right now, though, on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
right now, there is only one radio station talking about what's going on in Northern Nevada. Live and local, right now. 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Ryan this morning. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, MJ. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm doing fabulous. Feel great. Got my hot tea right here, and I'm plugging along.
Cool. Gino had some really good points, and I'm just going to piggyback a couple off them. The fact, I got to give President Trump kudos for the fact that he did try to shut down the government, the borders, as much as he could. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do that, you have to go all the way. Because as Gino was saying, people could get in from Thailand, Italy, Ireland, UK, they could get in from anywhere. And then the best thing that we should do is we should have followed the South Koreans. Because they're just like us. They're a democratic society. But they've done the Corona the right way. They had the testing scale up to the right levels. They have an app on a phone to let people know who's sick, who's not. And we would have followed the South Koreans. I think we would not be in this economic BS as we would be in now, I think.
I think you're right, Ryan, because there is so much regulation in this country that we can't get the things that we need through.
No.
Literally without an act of Congress. And I'm going to take that one step further, Ryan. And if we were able to shut down air travel when the towers came down at 9/11, we should, if this virus was going to be as deadly and as serious as the people projecting it were going to be, we should have shut down borders state to state, not just from outside of the country, from state to state. People are still traveling from New York to go to see family on the other side of the country in the Midwest. And this is just spreading the disease. And I'm surprised that we still haven't done it yet.
And that's part of the powers of the National Emergency Act. President Trump has part of his, once he should have declared a national emergency once that first Grand Princess cruise was near the U.S. and knew south from South Korea and Italy. He said, no, we're declaring a national emergency now. If you declare a national emergency for the wall, you should declare it before the first Grand Princess cruise and started scaling up for the test. Talk to the South Koreans and say, South Korea, what did you do that we can learn from? What is the app that we can get so when the tests come back, we can know who's safe, let people know who's safe, let people go out, get stuff, keep the economy somewhat going. And, you know, the South Koreans, the best model to do to look at the Corona thing is look at South Korea because they did it the best out of everything.
Yeah. Ryan, thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
And I guess that's what we need to take away from this. We need to do a better job in accountability. We need to make sure that just because Congress is doing an impeachment trial, they better damn well be continuing to do their regular job at protecting the people of this country. And they have not done that. All they have done is attack a duly elected president. Your president. And if you didn't vote for him, whether you like it or not, he's still your president. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Jane this morning. Jane, what do you think about the media reports that have been coming out?
I don't think it is media. I think it's just racism against our president. I think it is hatred. I think it is just trying to destroy him because they cannot and they will not face that he is our president that he won. And they hate him because he's a white man. I'm going to say it like it is because that's what they hate, because he's a white man. And, you know, because he is good for our country. He's not the socialist, communist, elite government that they want. He helps the American people. They give nothing to the American people except they just judge him, criticize him, and condemn him, and they are the communists that they call him. They are the socialists that they call him. They are the racists that they call him. He's not a racist. They are. They are.
You know, Jane, I'm going to correct you actually right there. And I don't think it's because he's a white man. Bernie Sanders, old white man. Joe Biden, old white man. Nancy Pelosi, old white woman. Chuck Schumer, old white man. I believe it's because he's not a politician. He's not part of the swamp. That's why they hate him and don't want him in there. Because he went in. Remember the famous slogan that a black man brought to us? Change. Time for change. Change you can rely on. Hope and change. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, is the real hope and change. And they can't stand that. Thanks for the call, Jane. We'll be back after this Fox News update here on your live and local FM talk stations, 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're with me today as we continue on and get through this virus. And hopefully you're not going too stir crazy at home. Our official lockdown, our prison sentence. But no. We're all coming through this together and we will come through this stronger. Let's go to the phone lines. 884-9910, not a local. He's watching out for all of us, though. Let's check in with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Monica, always a pleasure to be with you. Lived in Tahoe for about 4 years, a long time ago, so I guess I'm very familiar. So, I still have a lot of friends there and somewhat
you know
of a
local. You know how beautiful it is. Well, we still consider you a local, even if you were only here for a short time. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about places like Lake Tahoe and smaller communities out in our rural areas. You know how rural we are here, actually. You know, if it weren't for Reno and Clark County, that's pretty much what Nevada is made up of. Rural communities seem to be getting through this storm easier than the cities like Reno.
Oh, well, I mean, the obvious factor is the more rural you are, the less contact with you have with a large group of people, right? So that's one aspect of it. And data compiled by Johns Hopkins University shows that just under 1,300 counties have no confirmed cases of coronavirus out of over 3,000 counties nationwide. You know, most cases it's business as usual. You know, local drive-throughs are still slammed. Businesses deemed essential or, you know, they're operational. And, where the amount of people seen traveling down main streets, it almost feels like a Sunday morning. It's less people, and less contact with the coronavirus. Though we have seen some numbers of coronavirus climb in a few rural counties across America. One hotspot we're looking at is Albany in Dougherty County, Georgia. And, you know, this is the place where the closest interstate's some 40 miles away, and where the county has already seen over two dozen coronavirus deaths. Many people there say that it was a recent funeral where a ton of people came in, outside visitors came into this town. And they say that it really just turned Albany into a coronavirus bomb. And so it's why we're hearing again and again and again the advice of social distancing. You know, keep away, stay inside. You call it a prison sentence. I can tell you my neighbors are saying the same thing, particularly if you've got kids and you know, everybody's going a little stir crazy. But it's what you got to do, right? To kind of.
I have dogs, but even they're driving me crazy. It's like, you know, I have to be outside constantly throwing the ball. But that, you know, you make a great point there with Albany. Has anybody said anything on the higher levels that it was great, travel shut down to China, president got roasted for that, but he took it on the chin, started off with the Middle East and then went to the UK. Should we have shut down really the borders in this country, though, going from state to state and trying to control it that way? I mean, except for obviously important things like our supply chain, but it seems like the cities, people are trying to get out, get away, and it's just a spread of the virus.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be certainly a post-mortem on how we dealt with this and how we deal with future pandemics or threats like this. I think it's hard to say. Certainly, there's a political aspect of it. You know, one side would say, yeah, Donald Trump, the president, helped save millions of lives, and others would say he didn't do it fast enough. So, you know, I'll stay away from there. I'll leave you do the political side. But you know, there's we're going to find out more as we go. And the truth is, we just don't know. And you know, there's indications in California of leveling off in some areas, and perhaps it's because this virus has been, you know, shifting around for some months since December. You know, flights from China, you know, what, 7,000 people a day travel to California from China. And if this has been happening since December, you know, maybe there's indications that this thing has already kind of spread through California. And that's why we're seeing these numbers. But again, there's going to be a postmortem and we're going to figure it out. The truth is, we just don't know.
And I truly hope that they do the postmortem on everything, the supply chain, having back stock of things, and what is coming in from China. Because, California, San Francisco, you have your big distribution hubs. You know, those are the big trading centers, along with New York. Is New York, do you think that they, have you seen any information for New York leveling off yet?
We've heard from Governor Cuomo, who said that that hospital visits, you know, in terms of admissions to hospitals, they've gone down some. You know, you're looking at all these triage centers, the Javits Center in New York City in Manhattan, or the McCormick Place. It's the largest type of facility venue like that, the convention center. It's in Chicago, and they're adding, you know, thousands of beds there. No need for them yet, but they're there. And so we're scared because they're, you know, if the government's doing this, something big must be coming. And you know, we haven't seen it yet. We've seen more people die from the flu this year than this. And you look at H1N1, it killed far more people than what we're seeing, and infected far more people than what we're seeing. So what's coming? What aren't we being told? There's just a lot we don't know. And I think that the best thing that people can do for their own sanity is just live for the day. Yeah. And I hate to say this. I hate it. I shouldn't say it. But turn off the news and just try and live your life and take care of your dogs, take care of your kids, and do what you got to do and just live for the day. But you know, these small town communities, you know, while they've been faring pretty well, most of them, the lion's share of them, the ones who do get in trouble, these are the same small towns and communities that are fighting for resources that are now pouring into places like Seattle and New Orleans and New York. So you know, getting the virus is a big concern, and getting the resources to these small towns and communities can be pretty challenging.
But on the upside, they also have more of a sense, I believe, of community and are willing to help their neighbors. And they do all the canning and the hunting, and they know how to survive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my neighbors and I, we were joking about a little farm field just down the road. I live on the country, about 6,000 people in my little town. And, you know, my neighbors were joking. We've already been eyeing up the places where there's cows and all sorts of things. So, you know, we're talking about our meat source. And, you know, that's how we joke. But these people, no joke. And these doomsday preppers that have been, you know, on these shows and working for years, you know, they're just sitting back and just laughing at the rest of us. But, you know, the whole toilet paper thing, I still don't get. But you know, again, there's going to be a postmortem on all this, and you know, the good information that we're going to get in terms of, you know, what we did right and how we can do better. Sadly, it's all going to be politicized, and so you know, you hope for the best information. But
well, I'm with you. Turn the news off. As long as you still join me.
I do.
Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, thank you so much for joining me, and you be safe in your little part of the country. I appreciate your time today. Let's go to the phone lines, 884-9910, and check in with the information officer for the Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation, Rosa Mendez. Rosa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, good morning, Monica. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's very important to get out accurate information, and I have already received numerous emails this morning about people not being able to file for unemployment, and that hopefully the pace picks up quicker because so many people are in need right now. Rosa, what's the status of the Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation right now?
Well, we're still, you know, as you know, there was a release that went out last week that talked about the high or the monumental volume of claims that we had that differed from the week of ending 3/14 to the week ending 3/21. So we basically, just to give your listeners an idea of the volume that we're dealing with here, is we went from 6,500 claims in 1 week to over 92,000 the following week.
Okay.
And if you really wrap your mind around those figures, it is a monumental.
So you
take that volume or that number, and you try to put it through a process. So naturally, what happens is people all go to the site, because that's what we're encouraging. We really want people that can file online to do that, to free up the phone lines for the people that are not able to file online. We have actually taken some active steps to increase not only system levels but staffing levels for both areas, not only the online system but our call centers as well. We've expanded the call centers from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And we do understand and recognize that people are struggling to get through to the lines to make their claim, but the mere fact that it might have taken you weeks to get your initial information into the system, you're not going to be penalized for that. It's not going to affect your benefits. Benefits will be retroactive back to the date of your eligibility or when the business is actually closed. So I don't want folks to worry about that.
Right. I do have one specific email here, Rosa, and that it's hard to do it online because eventually you do have to call. Is that still the process, that once you get everything filled out, you still have to call the number to get, a password or something to verify everything?
Okay, well, let's back up a little bit. One of the things I want to remind your listeners about is every single claim is case-by-case basis. It's individual. Everyone has their own unique employment case or employment history.
Right.
A lot of the reasons why you may get a message from the system telling you that you have to call is because of the data that you actually included into the system when you were actually filing your claim. Another reason might be that a lot of our folks are revisiting the site. In other words, they've filed before, but it's been a substantial amount of time, so they cannot recall their logging information. So as any other system, when you try to put information and it's not correct, the system basically tells you, okay, whoa, wait a second, this information isn't what we have on our record.
Okay.
So in that particular case, the claimant might be asked to call in. Now, if you are a claimant that's brand new and you can't remember, for example, what you put in before, there's actually a video on our YouTube channel that actually explains how you can actually reset your username and your password.
Where can they find that on YouTube?
They can search for Nevada Unemployment Insurance. That's the name of the channel.
Okay.
And then
Nevada Unemployment Insurance.
Right, and then that will actually bring down all the videos that we have. We have tutorials on how to register, how to file your initial claim, how to reset your username and password, and how to reset your PIN. Okay?
Okay.
Now, again, each person's case is different. So the system will look at all the data that is actually put in, and then it will determine if there's anything that it would flag the system. So that might cause you to have get a message from the system saying you need to call in. Now, if you have issues online, you can, particularly with your username and password, you can actually go to ui.nv.gov and click on the tab that says for UI claimants. And on the upper right-hand corner, there's a link that says Contact Us, and it has all the numbers that you would need. For example, because there's different numbers, folks that are online that are having issues would contact one number versus people that are trying to file through the phone system, they would call the actual call centers. Because, again, we want to get anyone who can file online, because it's really the most it's the most convenient and fastest way, because it is a 24-hour option. You can file anytime. You can do, as a matter of fact, we actually encourage folks to file during non-peak hours. And that what that means is basically in the evenings or very early in the mornings or on the weekends.
Right, because computer systems get just as overwhelmed as people do.
Exactly, right, because everyone, and that's a natural, I think, you know, people, I think most people are thinking, oh, I need to get in there, you know, 8 o'clock. Well, actually, if you're doing it online, you're better off doing it during non-peak hours, because you're thinking like everybody else is thinking. And when you're looking at 92,000 claims in 1 week, that's a whole lot of people.
Yeah, and I stay up until midnight anyway, so I might as well do it then.
Right. As a matter of fact, you know, I talk to claimants just about every day, and I had a really interesting conversation with a gentleman who said, you know, last time I filed with you guys was 6 years ago, but I recorded all my information. I went online at close to 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got done in less than 15 minutes.
Okay.
So I would encourage folks who are new to the system that they keep track or somehow securely record their information, so they don't have to worry about, calling anyone. They can actually just go right through the system to do their filing.
Okay. So basically, take a deep breath, and we're all going to get this together as soon as possible and get through all of it. All right. Rosa, thank you so much for the information today. I know that's going to put a great ease on the minds of our listeners. So I appreciate your time. And, well, my gosh, you've been with us for 6 minutes. Get back to work.
I thank you so much for your time, and thank you, I will.
Thank you, Rosa. I appreciate
Alrighty.
It. There goes Rosa Mendez. She's the PIO for the Nevada Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation. So if you did not catch all of that information or you need the sites to check in again, make sure you check out the podcast that will be up after the show. Okay, that's at 991fmtalk.com, and check out the podcast. All the information will be there for you. We'll be back after this quick break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk Radio 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Bless you for keeping me not only on the up and up, but also in the peace of mind area. We just have to take one day at a time. Every day as it comes to us is a blessing that it's still coming to us. As Jeff Manasso from Fox Radio said, you know what? Live your life. Only allow yourself so much time to listen to the news. Okay? Because mental health and stress is not good for you. Mental health is just as important as your physical health. So John decided to give me a laugh this morning and sent me this. Joe Biden has announced another attack on the president's virus plans. So Joe has drafted his new team of experts to help in the fight. Doctors Marcus Welby, Benjamin Casey, and James Kildare. John, you're killing me. Of course, if there's anybody under 20 listening, they're not gonna understand that. So actually anybody under 40 is not gonna understand that. So you can help share the enlightenment, the knowledge. But that's the thing. We can't do armchair quarterbacking right now. We can all have our thoughts. We can all have our suspicions. But please be careful with the information that you're getting, because there's a lot going around about the hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and acetaminophen, that this is helping so many people, and vitamin C, lots and lots of vitamin C, and these other things. Please do not take anything without your doctor's recommendation. Do not take things as gospel from the internet, because you don't know how you're going to react to it. You know, a lot of people out there can't drink tonic water because they may be allergic to quinine. So please, be careful, don't panic, and we're going to get through this. And we're going to be better for it, because our eyes are open. We'll be back in the next hour with more of your emails and phone calls on the Monica Jay Show at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.